A lot of people might not understand what that means to save yourself, but that's why we have to go into being selfless.
What do you mean save yourself, man? That's kind of a harsh tone, don't you think?
Nah, you know, in recent events, you know, I've been doing this for a while, man, and it seems like a lot of people almost get down and out because recent events and people pass away and things happen. You know, even if you die from some type of disease, but you haven't eaten right ever. You was 500 pounds and you died of a stroke. You know, everybody say it. Did that 500 pound person try to save theirself? I can't possibly be sad for somebody that's not trying to save theirself. Now, anytime there's loss of life, there's an issue. So I know being sad is a natural emotion, but also taking care of yourself should come natural also. So, you know, the first thing I want to get into is selflessness. You know, a lot of folks might not like my definitions when I come out because they're simple. A lot of folks don't like simple stuff. Me, I'm a simple sort of guy. So when we start talking about selflessness, it's basically doing for yourself. I mean, I'm sorry, it's not doing for yourself. It's doing for others instead of doing for yourself. So, you know, a lot of folks out there, when you start talking about selflessness can be good and it can also be negative. You know, negative consequences. For instance, if you are being selfless for others but not being selfless for your family, you're selfish at home. You can be selfish with your children. You can be selfish with your girlfriend, but then you could go in the community and want to give everybody everything that you can possibly give them. You give them all your time. You set up programs, create organizations to try to help those that aren't trying to help themselves, being selfless, trying to uplift certain type of people, but then you go home and you're very selfish and you're not willing to do anything for your own people. That could cause major issues. But when you start talking about being selfless, that could also be positive, you know, especially if you're selfless at home. You know, I think a lot of parents are selfless. If you're a good parent, I feel like you're going to be selfless when it comes to your children. I think you're going to put, or you should put, your children's needs and wants before yours. If you were in a relationship, you know, people say 50-50. I look at a relationship as 120% versus 120%. We all giving extra. We all giving as much as we possibly can give. So if we giving 120% and we're being selfless in our relationship and putting the need of our mate first, we both winning. As far as me being selfless, I stopped being selfless. I used to, when we first started, man, I was selfless in the movement. You know, I put the needs of the community before my needs. You know, my spare time out there putting in work until I realized that the community, majority of the community, could care less. And then that's when the light clicked on. I'm not putting in no work for some folks that ain't putting in work for themselves. You remember when I ran for council, for instance? You know, there was several instances where I was out being selfless for almost 3 years campaigning. You know, looking in the community, you know, talking to people. I remember, shout out to my people, Scrave. He's out there. He runs the Brother to Brother program. But then at the same time, to this day, I still don't remember how he could walk around the community with the politician that was trying to go against everything that the community stood for. That's when I start seeing those type of things. Somebody that you grew up in a community with, somebody that grew up with your parents, somebody that knew you since you was a child, see you doing something positive and goes against you. And everybody has the ability to do and make their own decisions. They can do what they want to do. But when you putting in at work and you fighting for the community, and there's example after example of people in the community just showing their true colors, it tends to change things an awful lot when it comes to being selfless. You know, and I'm not saying that it turns you into being selfish, but it turns you into possibly being more about self. You know, sometimes when you're looking at self and being looking at self-interest and you doing for yourself. Now, when I looked up a lot of definitions on the internet, it seems like the internet gives you self-interest and selfish interest almost like the same definition. But understand, doing for self, there's nothing wrong with doing for self. When you start looking at self-interest, you're doing what's in the best interest for you. And if you're doing what's in the best interest for you, it doesn't mean that you're not doing what's in the best interest for the next man. You'll be doing for the next interest for what's in your best interest for your community. So right now, my struggle is doing for self. You know, the movement right now, and I go out and get a grant, I'm doing for self. Why? Because I know if I put in the work for myself, it's going to better the next man. And a lot of folks, I don't know if they're putting in it for self, but you know, me right now, I'm more so in the stage of self-interest. I'm no longer selfless. If it comes down to my household, I'm selfless all day. But anything outside of my household, outside of my family, never selfless. I don't know if that makes me not a spiritual righteous person or not. I might have to look into it, but you know, you're not gonna catch me really being selfless outside of my household.
Well, I think that one, I think I'd like to add something to your definitions, and that is being self-interest. I believe a self-interest is doing anything that is positive for yourself without infringing on the rights or having a negative impact or effect on somebody else. Such as cutting your hair, brushing your teeth, and taking a shower is a self-interest. You know, grooming yourself is self-interest. Putting on nice clothes, ironing your clothes, that's a self-interest. But it's not infringing on anybody else's rights. It's not having a negative impact. And a lot of times people think that self-interest and selfish interest are the same thing.
That's what it says all the time on the internet. A lot of the definitions I looked up had a lot to do with selfish interest, self-interest, and they're basically the same.
Self-interest, in my opinion, is doing something that doesn't cross the line. Selfish interest is when you start talking about, hey, I sell dope. That's a selfish interest. I want money. I'm interested in money selfishly, so I'm going to take money and I'm going to harm other people in the process. That's a selfish interest, in my opinion. When you say self, as a self-preservation is the first law of nature. Selfish preservation is not. You see what I'm saying? So when you say self, that just means that you're doing what's normal and natural. You're doing what it takes to stay alive.
Now, because it's selling dope, couldn't that be listed as self-interest instead of selfish interest?
I would say no.
Because I'm not destroying you unless you want to buy the product. So if you're doing for self and you want to be high, and I'm providing a service for you to be high, is that destroying somebody without any, I guess, any moral compass about the community at large? Or is it just
if I sell them heroin that they want to use and they use it and they overdose and somebody calls 911 and the ambulance goes out and responds and they have to hit them with the Narcan that costs taxpayers $50 a shot? $100, $200, $300 a shot, whatever they done boosted the price up to. At the same time, there's a little old lady having a heart attack, and that woman doesn't get the heart attack because the paramedics don't make it to her in time, because instead of responding to her and her natural causes, somebody has a self-inflicted wound that is taking a negative impact on. So yeah, it's a selfish interest.
So is that going to druggie or the drug dealer? Because you know, nobody told that junkie to shoot that whole needle. Nobody told that junkie to take more heroin into their system that their body could handle before they decide. Now, could it be selfish interest on the, I guess, the role of the junkie?
Yeah.
And not necessarily the drug dealer?
No, it's both. Two people can be selfish at the same time. So, I mean, if we're going to call a spade, let's call it, hey, dope fiends are the problem, and the people selling them the dope are the problem, too. If you're going to talk about the truth of the matter, you know, it is what it is.
I'm not saying it's not a problem. I'm just saying I don't know how it could be selfish.
Because when I was a drug dealer, I was selfish. Very selfish. So selfish that when people came to me in the month of November or December with toys that I know that was supposed to belong to their children, knowing that may be the only toy that they was going to get for the next year or so. And my children got more toys than they know what to do with. So many so that I got locked up for 30 months. I come home and my kids still had the same toys that I bought the Christmas before I even got locked up, and half of them was unopened. It was that many toys. Yeah, it's selfish. If I'm going to take a food stamp card from somebody, knowing that the food stamps is not for the drug addict, but the children of the drug addict, and I know that them children are dependent on them food stamps to eat, then I think it's pretty selfish, considering I'm making hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a day, depending on what type of hustle game I got. So yeah, I think it's selfish interest on both parts. You know, I mean, it's all negative. And I'm not judging anybody who's participating in the game, because I was in the game for a while. I understand why people do it, but at the same time, you can't say that you're doing it for yourself. You know, now some people will do things like do extravagant things with their drug money to make them feel better and feel like they're giving back. But that also is a selfish interest, because I'm doing this to help me sleep at night. And I'm doing this to promote myself as a good guy. I'm doing it as a means of self-promotion, because if it wasn't self-promotion, I wouldn't be publicizing it the way they do.
So selfish interest, only doing for self with totally complete disregard for the well-being of others. Selfish.
I think that's selfish. I'm only thinking about myself. Self-interest means I'm thinking about myself, but that doesn't mean I'm not thinking about you. Selfless means I'm not thinking about myself at all. Self is in the middle. So selfish got to be the opposite. If selfless is not me thinking of myself, then selfish has got to be me thinking of only myself.
Let me give you a example of on a different, total different area of selfish interest. Started a neighborhood association about a year and a half ago. You know, a lot of people screaming about gentrification. Somebody gets shot, everybody's running to the candlelight vigils. They go to the candlelight vigils, everybody seems to feel very emotional. So while they're in that emotional state, everybody's going to be, we need to do something positive. We, you know, what can we do to stop this? We have to stop the gun violence. So everybody, you know, probably go to nearly 10 candlelight vigils a year. It's almost like a popular thing for some people, just to seem like they know, happen to know everybody that seems to pass away. So they just show up to candlelight vigils. Like, let's do something positive. You know, people talking about gentrification. So when you looked at the William Wells Brown Neighborhood Association, they decided to just completely disregard the other side of Race Street. There's no neighborhood association. You know, I did the hard work, had to get maps, draw out boundary lines, find out where we could put a neighborhood association within East End. Beautiful thing. You know, people talking about gentrification, this will give us the ability to go downtown and find out what's going on by getting the letters from the city when they're trying to rezone everything to stop a lot of projects from coming into the community, kind of the way that we did a Charles Young project. Passed out 500 flyers. 500. You know how many phone calls I received? None. Not one phone call. I passed out a flyer, and the flyer was just simply said, Greater East End Neighborhood Association. We here. You know, you want to be a part. Here's a phone number. Let's do good, Lexington Neighborhood Association. Let's go. We here. Beautiful. I passed out, knock on some doors. People look at it. They look at it. Hey, Neighborhood Association. Greater East End Neighborhood Association. Okay, yeah. Would you like to sign up? I'll call you. Let me check this out. What, check out the flyer? You want to check out the flyer that really only has maybe 15 words on it and a phone number to find out if you want to sign up for the Greater East End Neighborhood Association tonight? You know, that right there, that sort of things, when I hear people on Facebook, I see people on social media sites talking about what can we do in these neighborhoods where, you know, murders are taking place, you know, home invasions, you know, people are upset because the police are heavily patrolling their community. You know, it just goes to show me that when you're looking at these communities and how much selfish interest is out there. You know, you don't have to be a part of anything. You don't have to be, you could do your own thing, but that's the issue. We have a lot of issues. We have teens that are getting killed. We have people that are taking guns to school. We have young women, young males getting beat up, committing robberies, stealing cars, you know, breaking and entering, selling drugs, doing everything. But then when you try to set up something for the community to come together, let me know that they don't care. Now, they might care about themselves, but as far as the community at large, even when it comes down to self-interest, it seems like if you care about yourself, you would care about the community, especially if you have children. Because the better you make the community for you and yourself and your children and for everybody else, the better you're going to make it for yourself. So if I make my community good, that's gonna help my child out when she's out there in that community. So why wouldn't I want to better my neighborhood and my community for my child, for my wife, for my grandkids, for my aunts, cousins, all that type of stuff? So, you know, I'm just really looking at this self-interest, selfish interest. So when we get into save yourself, a lot of folks will understand where I'm coming from with it's not any coarseness or any hate or ill will to certain situations that take place. I just understand that a lot of people make poor decisions. A lot of people make reckless decisions. And as a consequence to their actions, certain things are going to play out. And I understand why they play out. So, you know, I understand if you was to jump off into a fire with some gasoline draws on, you're going to burn up. You know, that's just, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. So if I see you jumping off the roof in some gasoline draws, I'm not going to be shocked when somebody tells me that you caught on fire.
Well, you asked a question, and I think your question was your initial statement. Save yourself. Why ain't people participating in the community? Save yourself. Why, if I know that, you know, helping out the community helps me and helps my kids and makes it a better, safer place for my children to live, but I can't deal with that fact because I'm too busy trying to save myself. So the reason why I asked you, I was like, dang, that's kind of harsh, ain't it? You know, I'm just being silly. At the same time, most people have a save yourself mentality, but it's not on the same level as what you're speaking of, because you still do work in the community. You do work in the neighborhood to better the community, to improve the conditions, to reduce poverty, to help educate people. You teaching CPR to teach people to save a life just as easy as they can take one. So when you say save yourself, you coming from a different place. But that statement, save yourself, is very prevalent in our culture because it is the number one core value in America. Individualism. It's all about myself. I'm selling dope for myself. I'm a lookout for number one, numero uno. Instagram and Snapchat teach me it's all about me. Take pictures of me and selfies of me, and it's all about, you feel me? We so vain, we take pictures of ourselves. We ain't even get people to take pictures of us no more. It's all about self. So it's not a surprise that everybody's selfish. It's just the levels of success that people are experiencing from, for real, for real.
I have a question. The Bible talks about baptism. My brother gets baptized. I watched my brother get baptized. The Bible feels like that's a commandment or something that you have to do or something that, I don't know, the Bible like to see you do. My brother gets baptized and I don't. Is it possible that my brother can save me? Nah, I gotta save myself. If you wanna make that basketball team, we got a guy that works out every day, works hard, puts in the work. You don't. He gets better. You don't. You get cut from the team.
He don't.
He don't. You know, people talk about there's no I in team. I've never seen a whole team get a scholarship. You know, for one person. You 0 for 0 for 0 for 0. You play on a good team and they get you a scholarship and you don't get no minutes. You're not getting no scholarship. It's not about individualism. It's about you putting in that work. You go for 30 points a game. You go for 10 assists a game, 5 rebounds a game. More than likely, you're going to get a scholarship. You have to put in that work to get what you want. Now, you putting in that work to get what you want, but that's the difference between self-interest and selfish interest. The individualism that our community is suffering from, it's selfish interest. It's not self. They more so almost like the ants. You know, they don't do the same thing. They're not dropping breadcrumbs for the ants coming behind them. They not gonna do that. They not gonna go, and if there's a trainer out there that helped them get a scholarship, they're not gonna tell the next person. They're gonna try to keep it to themselves. Heck, if there's a connect out there, You know, for the people that's on the block, if there's a connect, they gonna keep it to themselves. They not gonna tell everybody else where to get the connect. That's like a secret. Nah, man, if everybody know, everybody's gonna eat. If everybody eat, I ain't gonna be the man. Ain't nobody gonna eat with me.
Ain't that like a textbook definition of oppression?
And folks wonder why we in the situation that we in.
So maybe we are equal.
Equal in means of what?
We equally rotten to one another. We equally willing to oppress each other for our own selfish interests.
Did you not see that picture? I don't know. Somebody put a picture up the other day, and I seen it looked like it was a European group on one tree, and it looked like it was some Africans on the other tree. The European was pushing another European up, and it looked like the African was pulling the other African down.
I think it was on Keith Coleman's page.
You know, it's just the crab in the barrel effect. You know, it seems like instead of pushing forward to help, we want to make excuses on why we can't, but while we're making excuses, we still steadily tripping everybody running down the hallway so we could be the first one out the door to recess. Instead of forming a single file line so we could all make it through the door and we all be out there within a matter of seconds to get out there on the playground, but instead we tripped and tripping over each other to where we can't nobody get out the door because there's no way. It's blocked shut, it's sealed. It's just a mess. But until people, you know, really start being selfless in certain degrees, and if you selfless with your children, giving them the love that they need to have, maybe they won't go somewhere else trying to get love from somewhere else that don't really have any love, that's just selfish, you know. But if you was thinking of self in the aspect of I'm doing good right here, so it's almost just like stop the bleed. I have children. I see the community and the youth getting violent. So if I could be a positive influence on the community, wow, my children are just going to happen to go to school, the same schools where these children go. My daughter's going to have to go to the same school that their daughters go. So self-interest, yeah, it's self-interest, but a self-interest with the thought that my actions is going to help uplift somebody else.
For the sake of me and mine.
For the sake of me and mine. Who's going to help me walk through those pearly gates? Do we get judged as a group or do we get judged individually? I have my own book of life. You have your book of life. BJ has his book of life. We all have a book of life. So who's responsible for what gets written in that book of life? Is it an individual book of life or is it a group book of life to where we all gonna be in there together because we just one big happy family? Nah, man. Lot's wife decided she wanted to look back and she turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back as an individual. Everybody gotta make a decision, and sometimes people out here making decisions that they ain't ready for the consequences. But we know what the consequences are. This is simple mathematics. Simple mathematics, and if you went through the fifth grade at least, simple mathematics, you know, you could add 10, you could possibly multiply your 1 through 10 times tables, hopefully, you know, if you can add, subtract, divide, simple mathematics, man. And it seems like a lot of these folks, these young folks out here today, they mathematically illiterate. I guess that's a easy way to put it, because I'm no longer going to be easy on these teens, man. These young folks out here. Everybody else is out here trying to seem like they trying to baby them, trying to pat them on the back. It's just like the child welfare system. They patting these kids on the back. They not really being as harsh as they should be. I'm like Joy was talking about. No, I don't think they should walk young children out of school in handcuffs. Yeah.
You talking about the juvenile justice system and the corrections and all that stuff.
At the child welfare system, it all falls in the juvenile system. It's all you, me and you. We all in this community, schools, education, you know, CD workers, you know, social workers, you know, that child welfare system covers everything, all aspects of life when you're looking at the looking at youth. So, you know, I guess we could go into a break, and when we come back, we could really get into, you know, what a lot of folks are talking about, maybe fearing, is the children, the issues with these children out here, man. Now I look at them as children. You know, I can't necessarily say they're young adults because they're not mature. Just because you a teenager doesn't make you a young adult. Your mind is what makes you mature, not your age. So we're going to get into that and really start really talking about what's going on out here in these streets with these young whippersnappers, man. So just stay tuned. We'll be right back with you with more Blackout Radio with the Dumb Boys.
I think that we need to be a combination of selfless and pursue selfish interests at the same time pursue self-interest and just completely ignore selfish interests. There are times that we need to do... There's a dude named Travis Nocentelli. Travis Nocentelli tells me that love doesn't ask for sacrifices. It demands them. So if you love your neighborhood, your community, then you should be willing to sacrifice a little bit for it. If you love black people, then you should be willing to sacrifice a little bit for it. So I feel like that we should be selfless within reason. You know, the Bible, you know, you talk about the book, you love your neighbors, you love yourself. I love myself enough to make sure I eat every day. So if I'm in a position to help somebody else eat today, if it's not going to prevent my family from eating today, then I don't think that there's anything wrong with doing that. And that's a selfless act. At the same time, it's a spiritual act. The Bible says to store up treasures in heaven, not on earth. So the more I do for others, the more that I can show and reflect the qualities of the God that I'm supposed to be, you know, made in his image. Now, in the event that we don't do that, and it's all about me, then I can't be reflecting his quality. So am I one of his peoples? Can I say I'm following his commandments if his commandments are love God with everything you got, love your neighbors, you love yourself, take care of the orphans, take care of the widows? If we're in a position to help somebody out, I feel like we should, as long as it doesn't jeopardize our family's well-being. If you're sitting on $100,000 and somebody asks you for a couple of dollars, yeah, is it going to hurt you to give it to them? Because, you know, according to that book that I read sometimes, you know, it say Jesus said, if your brother asks, give it to him. Don't ask for a return. Simply give it to him. If I have it to give, I think I should. I think that's being selfless. But it's also in my self-interest, because the more I do for people, the more love I show, the more I'm gonna get blessings back. Now, I'm not doing it for the blessings. However, the more selfless acts that you do for others, those acts will in turn come back to you tenfold. You feel me? So I help a brother out over here, and I help a kid out over here, and I help a kid out over there. The next thing you know, they say, hey, here's a job. Now, in my case, it took 6-7 years to get a job, and I never stopped doing the work. But it still pays off. Me doing an act of kindness for somebody else, if nothing else, even if it doesn't benefit me financially, it benefits me physically. It will reduce my stress. I will release certain types of emotions that will make me actually healthier. My blood will circulate better. My thoughts will be clearer. I'll have a positive attitude and a positive outlook on life, therefore diminishing the amounts of stress that I deal with just by helping someone else. And not only am I helping them, something simple as holding the door open for somebody. That's selfless. Hey, it's raining outside. I'm getting wet, but I'm going to hold the door open for this young lady to go. Well, now she says, hey, well, you know, all dudes ain't dogs. The simple studies have shown that opening the door for somebody who's having a bad day has the potential of changing their perception, which then changes the outcome of their day and they feel a little bit better. So, you know, selflessness is beneficial. And it's also in our self-interest, as long as we can find a balance and don't lose what is our primary responsibilities, which is be true to yourself. You know, like, I'm gonna be honest, I ain't had but a few hours of sleep the past week, ripping and running, doing this, doing that, trying to help everybody that I can. You know, and that's taking a toll on my body. So then, you know, yesterday I'm like, hey, I gotta shut it down. Nah, I can't help you today. Nah, I can't run for you today. No, I'm not going no daggone where. I'm gonna sit right here. That's in my self-interest. Now, people can say, oh, that's wrong. He's being selfish. But if I don't take care of myself, how will I have the energy, the strength, the peace of mind to help somebody else? So I take care of myself in my self-interest in an effort of seeking to be able to help and serve others, which is a selfless interest.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, when I was thinking about this show, is from last week, once I was listening to Joy and Future from the Lounge, and they were talking a lot about the violence in the city. And it came to myself as, you know, folks, I often heard people talk about, what can we do? What can we do to save our children? When tragedy strikes, you know, it hits so hard to where people don't understand how something like that could happen to somebody so young. So to be realistic, what can you do? We can continue to do what we do. You know, first of all, yeah, our young adults, our youth, they definitely need role models. Our children, they definitely need role models. Everybody needs to stay in their own lane and do the work that they felt like is God-given for them to do, the calling that they have with their strengths. But ultimately, our children are going to have to save themselves. We can't babysit our children. It's almost just like parole, for instance. Parole's almost like babysitting an adult. You know, the laws was created in the Bible. Laws wasn't created for the righteous. Laws were created for the ruthless, the folks that didn't want to obey, the people that wanted to kill, the people that wanted to go out and have sex and do everything under the sun. You know, parole's for people that need a stricter guidelines from regular law. When you have children that have people walking them to class, they have probation officers, they have social workers, they have people from, they have mentors, they have coaches, they have guidance counselors, they have teachers. So when they go off the path and start making decisions to go left, and you say, what can we do? Well, you could discipline them. You can let them know that what they did, their action was wrong. 9 times out of 10, they already know. But you let them know, okay, what you did was wrong. But the actions of those young adults won't change until they are ready to make that change themselves. So what can you do? You can set forth a good example for them to follow. But if they choose not to follow it, there's nothing that we can do. You know, and I think, you know, when I had a conversation with Future and Jammin, I think that's kind of what, like I said, I think kind of took it out of context and said, Future said something as far as let children figure it out on their own without being proactive. They just got to figure it out on their own. No, they ain't got to figure it out on their own. If they make a bad decision, they're going to have to deal with the consequences. If you have perfect examples of people out here putting in work and good role models for you to follow, and you have, let's put, if you look at the culture of a lot of young people, you look at the hip-hop culture, you know, everything is driven by hip-hop, everything is driven by, you know, rap music, a lot of rap music is driven by the dope game. A lot of folks right now, they talking about conversations as, We finally got a black superhero. Black Panther, that's good. We have to have superheroes that look like us. We should have had superheroes that look like us. What is a father? If we have to look to a fictitious superhero to uplift our community, what are the fathers out here doing? My father was always my hero. Oh, well, I've never had a father. You never had a Mr. Clark in your school? You never had anybody that you can look up to? Oh, well, that's the problem, because now everybody knows we don't want to be superheroes. We looking up to the supervillains. We won't be the violent folks in the community. That's what we looking at. We won't be the tough guys. We won't be the big macho guys. So we don't look up to the superheroes anymore. We looking up to the supervillains, because there's not enough positive people putting in enough work to overshadow the negativity in our community. And that's a major issue, man. You don't, Black Panther, and I understand Black Panther being on the screen, the big screen, yeah, that's positive. But when I hear that conversation is, we need black superheroes, well, What are you doing to be a hero? Not saying that you're doing it to be a hero, but you know, a hero's in everybody. We all have superpowers. It's just a matter of if you trying to use those superpowers or not to uplift and fight those negativities in your community.
I think the biggest problem is ignorance. We've always had black superheroes. We just didn't know they was black. I mean, for real, Adam and Eve. The whole Bible, most of the whole Bible cast, all of them black. We just don't know any better. Because we too busy focused on selfish interests that we can't take the time to sit back and think. And those who do have the information and knowledge use that information selfishly to promote their own agenda without necessarily benefiting the rest of the people. And it's been like that forever. You talk about superheroes, and I think that we do need black superheroes and fictitious characters, because we're programmed to see white as superheroes. So you look at Captain America, he's the Jesus. Superman, he's the Jesus. The main superhero is always white. But then you look at this African. And what I love about the Black Panther, I'm a nerd, and I got a tattoo of the Black Panther on my arm, him and Storm. That's his wife. The reason why I'm so geeked up and excited about it is because he's African. He ain't no thug. He's not a hoodlum. He's the Tony Stark of Africa. He's actually richer. He owns one of the most precious metals. Great fighter, because he beats Captain America's backside in the comic books. I don't know if he will do it in the movie, but he can whoop Captain America. So the King of Africa can whoop Captain America. Not only that, the Black Panther is a character that was made by a white man. Everybody talks about, oh, he's made after the Black Panther group. Maybe named after him. He was invented by Stan Lee, Jack Kirby. Two white dudes co-created him. But looking at images of the Black Panther and being able to go buy an action figure of the Black Panther, to me, would be much more beneficial to our children than buying Thor, the Hulk, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, like, our children are programmed. And then when you talk about the rap music is just further reprogramming our children. You talk about, we finally got a black superhero movie. How many black athletes got millions of dollars? How many black musicians have millions of dollars? But once again, you're talking about everybody trying to be the first one out there on the yard or playground. If Jay-Z's worth almost $1 billion, Dre's worth $1 billion, Nas is worth who knows how much with all he's invested in, why can't they come together and make their own record label? Why can't they come together and make their own movie house to where they can then produce all the Black Panthers and start creating their own superheroes that have a positive impact on our children and society, instead of them talking about how they big boy gangsters and big boy traffickers?
Man, I think even if you look at the percentages of rich dope boys, the percentages of rich, wealthy rappers, Shelvin Mack is a real live superhero. He defied the odds. He grew up out Winburn. Not too much money. Single parent household. Now he's in the NBA. You know, there's a lot of stories like that to where you have a lot of heroes. And if you look at Batman, for every major superhero, you're going to have another hero that has defied the odds to be pretty well off, give back, and put in work. You know, and we have real examples of superheroes. I look at Lil Boss. To me, he's a up-and-coming superhero. You know, you see the way he dunked on that boy? Did you see the video of him dunking on Lil Buddy?
Nah.
Yeah, got a steal a half court, came down, dude jumped, dude looked like he's probably taller than him. And he cocked all the way back and dumped on him. Superhero. But flying through the air. Look, that's not cool.
It's cool, but I'm a nerd. I watch Big Bang Theory and understand half the stuff they talking about. You feel me? Because I study it, like, it's weird. And I'm not saying it to promote myself. I'm saying it to say, for every super strong, incredible Hulk superhero, you also have the super geniuses. The ones that are great inventors, and this, and I think that in our community, in our society, we often look at the athletes as superheroes, or the rich people as superstars or super celebrities. But we don't celebrate the excellence that we have within our community. We don't appreciate it. And I think that that's the reason why a lot of those stories ain't told. There's a black man that owns every Waffle House in Lexington. Call him a superhero.
He definitely is.
You know, super soakers were invented by black folks. There's black construction companies. There's a black what do you say? Neurosurgeon, neurologist.
Mm-hmm.
That's a brain doctor, right? I met a female who graduated the same class as Keith Coleman. She's a sister. This woman is a brain doctor. She does procedures and stuff for children with, you know, brain issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's a superhero to me. You know, Dr. Steele. You know, that's the one that delivered CJ.
Uh-huh.
She's an OBGYN. You say that's not that big of a deal. You know, what's so big about an OBGYN? I mean, they do pap smears. Yeah. But if you look at the statistics, black men are what, 30? I mean, black women are, no, 5 times more likely to die in childbirth than anybody else. So when you have a black OBGYN that guarantees that these women are getting the treatment that they deserve and they don't have to worry about losing their child at birth like Serena almost did, yeah, that's a superhero to me, considering how many people are going out of their way to kill our children through abortion. So I'm not knocking that little boss is banging on folks, because I want to see the video. But we also have other super geniuses.
Yeah,
you know, that we don't celebrate. And I think that we promote the ignorance. Oh, Lil Wayne's a college graduate. So is 2 Chainz, Plies. All these guys went to college. They should be able to speak English a little better than they do. You know what I mean? But we need to start selling. And at the same time, I don't think that we need to idolize people to the extent that we do.
You know, when they went to college, they took your favorite subject.
Math. Mm-mm. PE. Home ec. Drawing, art. What?
Was it sociology?
Psychology for me.
Sociology and psychology. How to make these people... How do we get in somebody's head to become rich?
Mm.
Psychology, maybe? We understand how the human brain works. Understand the so-called wants and needs of the human mind and use those to throw it right back at them and make millions of dollars. Yeah. That's why you go to college. So you understand the real business side of things and really how to play on somebody's emotions to get money.
The problem is, most of the people who go to college still don't get it. They get out of college and $100,000 in debt and work for the rest of their life. So it ain't working for them either.
No, it ain't. Yeah, like I heard you could go to college for free. You ain't got to pay. You go in there and sit in the class just like everybody else.
You just won't get a diploma.
You just won't get a diploma. So if you want to learn about psychology...
He's giving me that look, y'all. Y'all can't see. Give me that look.
Go ahead, go to school. Go in, find a psychology 101 and take it all the way through.
Harvard has I think it's Harvard. A couple of different colleges, like the Ivy League schools and stuff. They got their psychology courses and stuff on YouTube. A lot of colleges do. You may not get a diploma, but if you want to understand it, then understand it. And while it may be selfish or a self-interest to spend a lot of time, and people may think that it's selfless, if you're studying something, you're spending a lot of time putting energy and effort into learning something to use it to benefit your people, your community, your neighborhood, your family, anybody outside of yourself, that's a self-interest. It's not a selfish interest.
They just don't get it. I don't get it. You know, I'm still learning. Everybody, hopefully, most folks out there are still learning, trying to find their way in this messed up game. I seen a picture the other day of a fallen angel. Oh, it's a fallen angel. Did you see that with the chicken wings and all that?
Man, he had no feathers, man.
Just had to be European. You know, angels are European.
I think he fell in Europe somewhere.
He fell in Europe, you know. I hate to break it to you, but fallen angels are demons. You know, just to put it out there, it wasn't an angel. That was a demon. That's what devils look like. It wasn't no angel, people. So, you know, y'all in Europe, I believe that it was real. And you got the first sighting of a devil.
Well, they did say that the devil keeps turning himself into an angel of light.
There you go.
Maybe that was him, light bright.
Yeah, that's who it was. So, young folks, man, y'all just, you know, you got to get it together. And there's nothing that a parent can do to save a child. Now,
you can actively parent.
You can actively parent all day long. You know, I remember I had a very active mother and father that played a active role, a significant role. But, you know, for whatever reason, I didn't want to go work it. Well, I did work at Toyota after I graduated for about 4 weeks.
Then I decided you was out there 4 hours.
Then
man.
I decided I wanted to do something a little different and hang out and, you know. But that's the thing is a parent can parent and can parent and can parent. But until a young child, a young adult decides they want to make a decision to do something positive, there's nothing that you can do. You can bail them out.
You can lay that foundation, though.
That's the main thing.
From early age, if you lay a concrete foundation.
That's it.
My firm belief is that 99.9% of kids is going to go astray from what you want them to be in the first place. All of them going to do it. It's just going to be the levels or extent of disappointment that you have to deal with in life. At the same time, once they get older and realize that life keeps bumping them upside the head over and over and over again, most of them will come back. Some of them need to be bumped once. Some of them need to be bumped twice. Some of them just need to be laid the F out. Twice. Some of them you just going to have to drag. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, you know what I mean? So that's where I feel like it's up to the individual. If we as parents lay that concrete foundation, we put in the hard work, the selflessness, like you was talking about for your family, then after that, you know, the decisions are theirs. We can't control them. We not going to stop his violence. I don't care who you are or who you roll with. We not going to stop his violence. Hopefully, you know, we can put in enough work to stop burying 15-year-olds. Maybe hopefully we can go, you know, weeks without shootings instead of 4 weeks without a shooting instead of 4 shootings in 1 week. We may be able to reduce gun violence if we all take a proactive approach. But at the same time, as long as they got guns in America, and they got bullets, and they got people with beef, and people who are selfish and could care less about the next man and don't respect his life or his right to live, we're going to have murders. So, in that extent, I would say, even though I hate to say this verbally on the radio in front of people, and especially in front of my young nephew, but you're going to have to save yourself.
And unfortunately, gangsters, gangsters get shot.
Gang gang's under investigation. I'm gonna put that out. Man, everybody with a gang gang anything on Facebook is under investigation in Lexington, Kentucky by the Metro and the Fed. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Take that foolishness off of Facebook and act like you got some daggone sense.
Gang gang, you go to jail. You get shot. You know, you kill. Kill or be killed. You know, that's what that gang culture's all about. So when you, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, on up, deciding that that's the life you want to go. What can a person do to sway somebody? If I'm in the hood and I'm giving out applications for people to work at McDonald's to start your career, and you want to sell dope, you want to hang out on the block, there's nothing that I can do to make you go fill out that application and go to McDonald's and try to get a job. There's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that anybody can do until you personally, that individual, decides that they want that application and they want their job at McDonald's. So I'm not shedding any tears for folks that make decisions to do what they want to do. And they don't end well after you've talked to them over and over and over and over. I see it in the court system. The court system, the youth court you almost need a new building for these kids, man.
They got one.
Where's it at?
Spur Road.
Do they?
Fayette County Regional Youth Detention Youth something. I don't know.
Do they?
It's on Spur Road.
Is it pretty big?
It, I don't think it's big enough.
Yeah, see, I've heard and seen the caseloads, and you know, have a lady, a niece of mine that works down there in the caseworker department with the city, and it's getting worse. You know, it's getting out of hand. People talking about the epidemic, a pandemic in Lexington, dealing with the heroin and the Serenity. The epidemic is really youth criminal, what would you list that as? As far as a youth what?
Youth ignorance. Youth engaging in stupidity first. I don't know what to call it. Youth recklessness, hopelessness, helplessness. Youth just not really caring, giving a darn about life or respecting the gift of life, so they squander it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, and I can't say that it is, you know, folks haven't really, you know, because I think we was, what, you was turned 18, I was 16, about to turn 17, we got caught our first felony. It's a felony because it was looking at a 1 to 5.
Man.
Burglary. Of course, you turned 18 and you didn't have to do any community service.
But if they could have held it over, and I'd have been doing a bit.
But then, you know, some things, it just, you know, time after time after time after time. But that was enough for me. It was enough. It was almost like the scare straight, like, you know what, this could really get really ugly. And I think back then, that's passed now real time. It wasn't like right now. So I think that there needs to be a reform on the juvenile justice system. If you're a little stricter right now, maybe you won't have to be so strict once they get older. Or is that the plan?
Well, the thing was that so many people, you know, was complaining about how harsh it was because the United Nations talking about how many black people were locked up disproportionately. What they did is basically make it to where you can't lock none of them up now.
Yeah, I'm not talking about locking them up like the United States was locking them up for life.
I'm saying you can't. They basically almost got to kill somebody to be in custody. And even still, they do 4 months, they get out, do 4 months probation, and they done.
And now that seems like that's what the new culture is about to start bringing. More death with our youth. So folks out there, man, just be proactive. Stay vigilant. Keep your head up. And understand that everybody has a life, everybody has a soul. And in order for that soul to be looked upon greatly, you have to save yourself. Self-interest. Blackout Radio with the Dumb Boys. We out.